Okay, this is live radio, folks, so you know how it works, and you know what we're doing here. And let's see, we should have Dr. George on the line. Good morning, Dr. George.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Oh, you're sounding great. Maybe we ought to do the show from the car all the time.
Well, there was like a huge pileup, unfortunately, about three cars.
Oh, wow.
This morning, probably going a little bit too fast. So hope everybody's okay.
Well, I sort of prefaced your show today just by the fact that, you know, politically, and I don't agree with any of it, but about sequestration and, you know, how it's affecting us, from the stopping the tours of the White House to letting undocumented folks go. And then yesterday, it came right back out that ICE is picking those people up. you know, somebody ain't making sense here. And I think your subject today is one that, not only from sequestration, but it's a problem anyway. So I'll let you jump right into it.
Speaking of sequestration, I mean, I heard a couple of days ago that the USDA was going to start furloughing their inspectors. And the first thing that came to my mind is, if the food supply is bad enough, I mean, I'm going to double my effort to make sure that I stick as closely to organic and genetically modified, non-genetically modified food as I possibly can. I don't know what to say about this. I mean, the USDA, the FDA, all of these organizations that are put in place to protect our safety, they're not doing that. I mean, it's like the opposite. You have nobody doing any kind of, well, that's not true. There is research on genetically modified food, but it's never going to come to light because it means that the food industry will definitely have to change their practices. I mean, we've talked about this well in the past, the genetically modified seeds, like corn, soy, alfalfa now, pineapple in Hawaii. I mean, there's just a growing list of tainted foods. And I'm seeing food allergies explode. We both know that cancer has exploded, autism and other neurological problems, autoimmune diseases. Things are just off the charts. I mean, I graduated from medical school in 1994, and, you know, autism was very rare. Colon cancer was rare. Breast cancer was 1 in 14. Now it's about 1 in 7. So something's got to be going on with our environment, and I think basically our food supply that's pushing us over the edge. Now we're going to have less USDA people, technically, to oversee these things, and what are we going to get?
You know, Dr. George, as I mentioned to begin with, from my standpoint, we have been short in the FDA or USDA as far as inspectors go, and this goes back to, unfortunately, I'm old enough, I can take it back to the 70s. We were shorthanded in the USDA and the inspectors. And if a person has ever been in a slaughterhouse, and that's one of the areas that the USDA is in charge of inspecting, it was, I wouldn't say, and they were very meaningful folks. It wasn't their fault, but they were just shorthanded, and I don't think it's gotten any better in the past 50 years, 40 years.
You know, I honestly think it's been corporatized, industrialized, and ingrained in the food system. I mean, it's as with everything in our country, everything has now become bigger, too big to fail. You know, they removed all the small mom-and-pop competition as they possibly can. In the farm industry, they basically bought out the mom-and-pop farms. Or they're like, you know, working for big agriculture, you know, growing their crops and basically not making enough money to pull away from them. I mean, this is what you get when you allow lobbyists to get in the ear of Congress, pay them off, let's be frank, and lie. I mean, most of these studies, I don't care if you're talking about big pharma, big agra, these studies that they throw out there a lot of times are underwritten by them with scientists that they employ. how objective are these tests? How objective are these pronouncements of safety and, you know, things that, that you're mandated, you're, you and I are mandated to do? It's not on the up and up, to put it mildly. It's just so over the top now, it's, you can't really ignore it anymore.
You know, and they are the ones that also provide the lunches for the kids at school.
Oh, yeah.
And oversee that. And you know, just like you were saying, the rise in ADH and all the other things, it has to be directly related to what the kids are eating.
But, well, think about this. There's something with this red slime. That was the ammonia that they're adding to the beef. And just to make it red, just to make it, just to preserve it, quote unquote. And it's not meat. It's not food anymore. I mean, I don't know if you remember this article where somebody did an experiment. They left their McDonald's hamburger in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of it getting molded or bacteria-laden, it actually just shrunk like it was plastic. I mean, that ought to tell you something. That means you need to stay away from this nonsense. If horse meat is in this stuff, that's the least of your problem. It's what you don't know.
You know, I mean... Did you see the article that came out, speaking of McDonald's, about their chicken McNuggets?
No, I missed that one.
Guess what's not in them?
Chicken?
Chicken.
Yeah. What is it? Meat product?
Yeah, and it's, you know, they've God knows how much money they've spent on formulating something that will sort of resemble a piece of chicken. And this came out, even my wife came in. She's the one that told me about it, that they were talking about it at her school, that the chicken McNuggets are not not made from chicken. They're not totally made from chicken. It's some of the chicken byproducts, and then they put in a ton of additives to make it look like it's a piece of chicken.
Listen, Dave. The bottom line is everybody's talking around it. There's about a trillion runs and marches and drives to stop cancer. But the bottom line is it's staring us in the face. It has to be what we are exposed to, what is entering our system. And if you have half, an imagination or some molecule of detective in you, you're going to want to start looking at what's going into your food supply. Seriously. If you have a seed, a genetically modified seed that has insect genes in it, or pesticides like Agent Orange that's literally within the seed that's designed to keep weeds from growing, meaning it's disrupting the ability for weed to grow, what does it do to your genetic expression, to your genes? What does it do to them? It has to be somehow altering. And if you alter a DNA molecule, you have a chance that when it reconstitutes itself, that it won't do it right, and that cell will forever be changed and start the process of becoming a cancer cell. I mean, we make cancer cells every day, but the body is so amazing that it's able to kill and stop the growth of those cancer cells. But what happens when that genetic control gets screwed with? I mean, there's already plenty of studies of cattle who eat this corn who are not having or having lost of the calves. They're aborting the calves or they're coming out with mutations. That's a calf. I mean, they're eating that, and they're our food supply. We are what you eat. There's no other way to put that. So if you're eating tainted food that they prop up with antibiotics, with, you know, they kill them unmasked, so they don't know what's wrong with the cows, basically. And that's entering your taste on your dinner table. And at some point, you're going to pay the price. And I think that's what we're doing now. Obesity, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, impotence, cancer. Those are nutritional deficiencies many times, more than not. Obviously, things happen that are natural, but you can't have this many people going off track if there's not something that's driving that change. I mean, it's just common sense, honestly.
You know, I want to ask the question, and then you made a point a second ago that you said it's with you forever. Okay, let's take a hypothetical couple. They're in their early 20s. They're just now finishing college, fall in love, get married, and we know how they've been eating, going through college, any and everything that they can. The chances of them eating right are slim and none. So they get married, and 2 years down the road from now, they have a child. Is what is in their system going to be carried forward genetically in their child's system?
Absolutely. And, you know, we can take a step back. I wonder if that couple will be able to have a child without some help. I mean, the infertility rate is off the chart all of a sudden. How many people, I mean, I think everybody at least knows somebody who has gone through some extra measure to conceive. That's not normal. I mean, it shouldn't be that many, you know, that big of an industry for the fertility. So there's got to be something going on with, again, the food you're eating. I know we're going to take a break in a minute, but I just want to throw soy out there for one example. It's in everything. It's even in gum. Even sugar-free, sugared, it doesn't matter. It's one of those fillers that is just in pretty much everything processed that you eat. Now, soy becomes, it's like a fake estrogen for the body. What estrogen is not supposed to be in overabundance in someone's system, whether you're male or female. So does it really have an underlying factor with breast cancer and uterine cancer? That would be on the female side. Does it have more of an issue with male impotence because estrogen levels are outbalancing the testosterone? You have to question these things. And if you have a child starting from, you know, infancy getting soy formula, where does that put them when they're an adult? Those are serious questions that people need to ask themselves.
Well, with that, let's do take our first break, and we'll be back with Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that allergy season in Georgia is year-round? Beginning in July through November, ragweed is the predominant pollen. But February through May, tree pollen causes allergy symptoms. Grass pollen occurs from mid-May through the beginning of July. If you suffer from daily nasal congestion, sneezing, runny nose, headache, ear clogging or popping, or a chronic cough, these symptoms may be due to allergy and not infection. You should also think of allergies if there is no fever, chills, or colored mucus. Treatment should include nasal salt water sprays over the counter or antihistamines that do not cause drowsiness. If you have persistent headaches, a decrease in your sense of smell, or nosebleeds, you should see an ear, nose, and throat physician. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and/or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we have a guest in studio. No, not really. I'm sorry you had to go through World War III in traffic to get here.
Well, I'm here, and that's a good thing.
That is. That is. You know, I wanted to expand a little bit on it, if we can, mm-hmm. on the educate. You know, everything. Every show that we've done this week, it's almost come full circle back to one word, and that's education.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I commend my stepdaughters, two out of the three, and I'm sure the third one will be the same if she has children. But they've given their kids no option but good food, you know. You see a 2-year-old going around with a carrot or a stalk of broccoli, and you've got to realize that something's going on right. And I've never complimented them, never said anything about it, but I do see it and I recommend it. But it starts when they're babies. You don't give them chocolate. You don't give them crap, and you don't take them to McDonald's as a treat. That's almost like taking them to the guillotines or something, you know.
At this point, you really have to really think hard about everything you decide to put in your mouth. You know, I'm not going to say you should never eat junk. You're human, but it shouldn't be your main staple. I mean, some folks eat out or eat these fast food chains every day for basically all of their meals. First of all, it's way expensive. I don't know how they can even afford to do that. But on the flip side, what they're doing is they're aging faster. They're putting their toxic load through the roof in terms of high fructose corn syrup and soy, God forbid whatever meat they're putting in it, the nitrites to make the food, to make it red and make it appetizing looking. The ammonia that's used to preserve the food. I mean, the ammonia is something that the liver makes as a byproduct. It's a toxic byproduct that the liver creates that you have to actually remove by going to the bathroom to urinate. Sorry to be, you know, graphic about that.
No,
but if you're eating the same toxic byproduct 24/7, obviously it's going to overwhelm the liver. I mean, look at the diseases that are popping up all of a sudden. Pancreatic cancer through the roof. That used to be so rare. I mean, you rarely saw it. You're seeing it in younger people. You're seeing liver cancer go through the roof in people. Those are rare diseases. Colon cancer, we know, is just crazed. So between the toxic overload for the liver and ammonia from your nitrites, or straight-up ammonia that they're putting in, and by the way, I think it was the USDA or FDA said that was okay because it's found in the body. They neglected to say that it's the toxic waste that's produced by the body. Therefore, it's not healthy. But anyway,
is it just because they're stupid that they'd say something like that?
They don't care. Listen, how many times have I said, if you want someone to care about you, you better look to your mom or dad or yourself, your loved ones, not the government. Really? Come on. Ask the Tuskegee crew. Ask the people in, what was it, Guatemala? I can't remember where they did the syphilis experiments or the gonorrhea experiments down there on those folks. Ask the Native Americans on various reservations who were exposed to radiation. The list is endless. So, no. If you wanted to trust anybody, trust God first, in my opinion, and then trust your family members and your friends and your immediate surroundings. But if you expect the government to help you, good luck. And you get what you deserve, quite frankly. I'm having less empathy for folks who just get on board with, you know, the government loves me, everything's free and wonderful, and you should pay for it. I don't really have a lot of sympathy when those folks get nailed, because they will be.
Let me ask you something. I don't mind picking on McDonald's. I could care less.
It's true. It's not like you're picking on it.
Yeah. I like everybody else, probably more like 10, 12, maybe 15 years ago, would probably eat a McDonald's once every couple of weeks. And is it the dopamine or the your brain that says...
Endorphins. Yeah, the dopamine. Yeah.
That says... Hey, you know, I think I'm hungry for a Big Mac, okay? So I'd go and right now, it's probably been a year and a half, 2 years ago since I had a Big Mac and fries. Maybe, I don't know, close to that, somewhere in there. But the further you get away from them, and then if you have one, you realize how bad it is. I mean, it turned me off. I don't even think I ate the whole. I know I didn't eat all the fries. I was just totally. And once you get away from this, or you break that. So what are they putting something in the food, or is it just strictly your head that says, "I need that"? Or what's the?
It's the salt, and it's the sugar. I mean, I think I've made this challenge before, but I'm going to do it again. I would like anybody listening to this, just for a trial, stop drinking soft drinks and eating sugar for about a week. Just do something else. Water, basically water or juice, naturally. But get off of high fructose corn syrup. And then you'll find that everything you eat after that is way too salty. I can't go and have a fast food pizza. It's too salty. I used to love Chick-fil-A back in the day before I changed my diet. Now, what was flavor now is too salty for me. So they get you in the cycle of the sugar. So you have these sugar rushes and drops. You eat it, you get a hit. You know, it's like an endorphin level. Your sugar level rises, and then it bottoms out. Then you have to have another dose. You're craving it.
Well, this is sort of like the cops and donuts, right?
Sugar. Right, so there's a problem with sugar in our diet, and the processed sugar, literally, the brain can crave it, and it's a physiologic response. It's sugar peaks and sugar troughs, and that makes the liver and the pancreas, well, specifically the pancreas, go crazy because it's trying to keep up with the load, and so your insulin level can't keep up with the sugar level, and then you start going off track, fatty livers, diabetes, obesity. This is not rocket science, high blood pressure because of all the salt that you're ingesting. And it's not biological salt. It's man-made, right? It's not sea salt, which is a lot better than the iodized salt you get over the counter. And most of that iodine isn't even absorbed, turns out. So we're actually iodine deficient. So you end up on this track where your cells start starving for nutrients. And what was able to repair itself can no longer do it. So you end up having the diseases of aging, inflammation, driving pain, driving cancer production, driving aging and early dying of the cells. This is all created if you would just put the brakes on it. If nothing else, stop the high fructose corn syrup and go to cane sugar. Yes, it's more expensive, but I tell you, we have so much power as individuals if we would just exert it. I really don't believe that just because it's happening to me that I need to be a victim. I don't believe that. If we stop going to the big box stores, start using the local farms, which I have to tell you are a fraction of the price. Now, there's a vineyard, something called Vineyard Farms here in Georgia, where I bought meat, grass-fed organic beef. And I think I paid about $130, maybe $100, that my height, I think I paid $180. And I've got so much meat, I'm actually still eating it. That's what we need. I mean,
I bet it has flavor, too.
Oh, my God, you don't put anything else on it. Maybe a little sea salt, but it actually has taste. You don't need the A1 sauce. You didn't need anything. And this is my, really freaked me out. When you cooked it, there was no fat. You know how you leave it in a pan and you can see the fat congeal? That did not happen. Something's going on with their food supply, people.
I couldn't tell you how many times that Leanna, my wife, and I have talked about, even at home, cooking something, it has no taste, has no flavor. And food, you know, you may not like venison, but it has a flavor. Mm-hmm. You may not like some fish, but it has a flavor.
True.
And you adapt to it and you like it, but the stuff that you buy in the store has nothing. It just
there's no nutritional value.
It's like a picture. It's like you're eating a picture.
But they spray it to make it redder. You know, they pick it early before the nutritional value is at its peak. It travels from the ends of the earth to come here. You know, the water they use to spray it sometimes is tainted with salmonella, whatever. You know, those outbreaks that always happen. mean, we're eating in an artificial manner. We're eating things that we shouldn't eat during times of the year that we shouldn't eat them, for example. I mean, this is not rocket science. If you have a garden or if you have some dirt or an ability to put dirt in one place, you should grow whatever. You know,
like we go on to, right?
Yeah, I think okay. We should. Lettuce, tomatoes. If you can get creative, good for you. Peppers. But that makes a difference. I mean, let's say a pepper, for example. You can get beta-carotene, astaxanthin, which is one of the best antioxidants out there. You don't have to supplement these things. You can just grow them and have them and protect yourself.
And, folks, please read the labels.
Yeah.
I went in. You know, this is not orange season. If you see an orange, it has come from God knows where, but this is not orange season. I picked up a bag, and when you pick up a bag of fruit and the label says artificially colored.
The fruit says that?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That the outside of the orange is artificially colored. And I'm thinking, you know, well, you say you're not going to eat the outside of the orange. Well, no, but... And I was in the store, and I was reading the tag, and I just yelled, no. And people looked at me, and I put the bag back and walked away on the bag. We have to take another break. We'll be back right after this.
At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, they provide better quality care. They believe that excellent medical care is a right and not a privilege. They are concerned that the current economy has forced people to sacrifice their health. They have therefore reduced their prices to make it more affordable. They will continue to provide state-of-the-art care. They continue to believe that patient care counts above all else. Peachtree ENT Center, concierge medicine without the concierge price. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment or for more information. They are located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest, Suite 260 North Tower, 2 blocks south of Piedmont Hospital.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know skipping doses of medication can be dangerous? If you have a chronic medical condition like diabetes or high blood pressure, it's important to take the medication prescribed by your physician. It is also important to remember that although you take a medicine to treat a condition, it is not a cure for the underlying medical condition. It is used to control it. For example, taking medication for diabetes will lower your blood sugar. However, if you stop taking the medication, the sugar will rise again. Changes in both diet and lifestyle, like adding exercise to your routine, are equally important. Working with your physician by following his or her recommendations is the key to controlling your disease and maintaining your health. Ask questions if you don't understand something. Taking control of your health is the key to wellness. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on Medicine on Call. While you were listening to the ads, Dr. George and I were placing bets. that may be the only way we survive, is placing bets.
No, it's not the only. See, I don't believe that. I think we'll survive because we are taking control of our health and our person.
I think there will be a percentage that will survive. The people that throw up their hands and don't fight or haven't prepared or are doing nothing, no, they won't survive. And unfortunately, you know, if a person, in my opinion, if a person has stocked up and has stored food and is prepared for anything, it doesn't matter whether it's man-made or the sun flares or whatever, but if they're prepared, then as far as I'm concerned, they have every right to shoot anybody that tries to take anything from them.
You have a right to defend yourself.
Exactly.
Everybody does. And everybody should be in a position that they can defend themselves. I think this is the main thing that happens. Because you don't feel like you can protect yourself or that you're the ability to protect yourself, it makes you vulnerable and it makes you a victim of fear, right? As soon as you're able, you know that you have the situation under control, fear takes a back seat. That's what preparation's all about. so that you don't have to be driven by the specter of someone coming to take something from you or you or your loved one. I mean, you shouldn't live like that. There's no reason to live like that. You shouldn't be living in fear of, I might get a disease or I might, you know, I'm going to age poorly and end up in some sort of home. I think aging doesn't have to be that way at all. It shouldn't be. You should be able to enjoy yourself, have your faculties, do what you like until your time is over on this earth. And that means as independent as possible. But you have to prepare for it. If you're eating now, same thing as being prepared for anything else economically, but health now. You only have one thing. You can have $1 trillion. You can have the best homes, the best cars. But if you don't have your health, you don't have anything because you can't enjoy it. What's the point? Right? So at this point, it's an investment. It's an investment in your future. It's an investment in your family because they need you. Right? No one wants to be a burden on their family. No senior wants to have that. And I totally get that. And it should be... My dad, he was 91, almost 91 when he passed. Until the day he passed from this earth, he was completely lucid, lots of fun, life of the party, loved every single moment that he lived. And he said to my cousin, I've seen everything, I've done everything. That's what I want. I don't want to be in a position where I don't even know where I am and someone's changing my diaper. I don't want to do that. Granted, it could happen, but if you're eating and you're living in a situation or in a way that's causing you to fall into this trap of disease, inflammation, and some sort of catastrophic illness, that's what you're signing up for. And as we both know, under Obamacare, you're going to end up in a hospice. And like I think I'm going to make a tagline. Obamacare is a one-way ticket to the hospice. That's what it is. And when you get there, it'll be... maybe the Liverpool pathway for you. Withhold your food, withhold your water until you cease to exist. It's not humane. It's not right. And I believe cats and dogs are going to live better lives than we are if we don't watch ourselves and start really, stop looking at the shiny thing, but look at reality. The cost of healthcare premiums are going through the roof. The Cadillac plans, which
it's
means...
it's not going to cost a dime more.
Whatever, I'm telling you. And actually, Donna Brazile whined about how her premiums... she didn't know why her premiums went up. Really? Okay, so that's one problem. Number two, what they call Cadillac plans, which means really the PPOs, the ones where you get to choose the doctor that you go to, the ones that don't have gatekeepers like primary care docs who have to... you have to see them first and be referred. You can go to us, get a scan done without jumping through 50 million hoops. Those plans, they term Cadillac, and it'll be a 40% tax on those plans, which means you're going to be priced out of them. Trust me, if employers still carrying insurance for their employees, they're dropping those. That's not even a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer. They're going down to the lowest HMO crap that they can, highest deductible that they can possibly sign on for if they want to stay in business. So what they're doing is they're driving everybody, except for Congress and the elite, into this pool of crap where you're paying for the privilege of getting nothing. And that's what they're going to call universal health care. That's the bottom line. I'm telling you the truth. Do your homework. Ask your doctor. Ask any doctor in private practice if they would prefer to see a PPO patient or if they would prefer to see an HMO patient. And 100% of the time, you will get the answer, I prefer the PPO because my hands are less tied. I can treat my patient the way I deem that I want to treat them. And I get paid for what I do. Granted, it's never going to be at this point what we deserve or what we really do, but it's better than pennies. And that's what you get.
Dr. George, can a physician go to work for a corporation or two or three corporations, almost like a concierge type arrangement? And with that being said, I know you and I have talked about this a number of times on the forms that you have to fill out.
Mm-hmm.
If you are working directly for a corporation, are you still under the microscope and magnifying glass by either the FDA or by the licensing board or
sure.
anything like that?
As long as you're a practicing physician, you are held to the same, wherever you are, you're held under the same regulatory guidelines. Granted, if you don't take Medicare and Medicaid, you're not under, and we'll talk about that, I think, in the next part of the break, you're not under such, you know, punitive, you know, guidelines. You know, you underbill, you committed fraud, you're a felon. You overbill, you committed a felon. If you did it by accident, there's no more any accident. You did it on purpose, and you're going to jail. And you're going to be audited, and you're going to go have your books based on one infraction, which you don't even know about. They're going to extrapolate that back 5 years and then multiply that. So basically, you're out of business. As soon as they roll up in your office, you might as well shut the door. They can grab your stuff. They can sell it before you even go to any kind of trial. Guilty before proven innocent. And your analogy is a problem. And the reason that it's a problem is because there's already not enough doctors out there. If you have private practitioners driving into the hospital system, they're now cut off from actually offering state-of-the-art, reasonably priced care. They're now drones of the hospital. And if they don't shut up and do what they're supposed to do, they will have peer review after them, and they will be put out of business, right? So, because they're following hospital guidelines. And they're all the hospitals now care about is following Medicare rules, because if they don't, they won't get paid, and they'll be fined. This is a disaster. Nobody sees this, but this is just so glaring that what they're doing is limiting choice by putting private practitioners out of business. I had a conversation with a colleague yesterday who went to the hospital, works in the hospital. They don't have the same equipment that I would have in my office. I have the ability in my office to do sinus surgery with the best, the state-of-the-art equipment. And if I go to the hospital, they don't have it because they don't get paid for it. Or the academic part of it, they do it the same way all the time. They have no interest in learning something new because they're the big institution. So innovation is always going to be driven by the want to be the best at something, to offer something, especially if you got competition, better and cheaper. And you'll do anything you have to do to make it more efficient and get your patients, how can I put it, get your patients better without having to take them to the hospital. That's the underlying goal, safely. That's the underlying goal of a private practitioner, especially in my profession. As soon as you get into the hospital setting, it's all different. I'm in a clinic 9 to 5, 501, I'm out the door. I don't care. The ER doctor will see the patient. Go to the ER. Don't call me. Call the on-call physician. By the time you get to the ER, if you're lucky to have an ER that has real coverage with all the specialties available, then you might get some help from the person covering. But they don't know you.
And the chances of that?
Well, if you got a hospital that has coverage, a little better than nothing. But if you're in a position where you have to be transferred to another hospital that has this coverage, you're already now two steps away from the doctor who takes care of you, someone who doesn't know you in a different hospital system without your medical record. And I don't care what Obamacare says about universal electronic medical record, total crap, okay? I can't look at my colleague's EMR. I have electronic medical records. I can't look at his. HIPAA would nail me to the wall. The only people who get to see that is the government, IRS, and I'm sure at some point FBI, CIA, NSA. That's who this is designed for. It's not designed for me to talk to my colleague. It's about displaying your personal information in a way that will allow you to be controlled.
I went to a psychiatrist to talk about not sleeping at night, so now I have a record with the psychiatrist, so I can't buy a gun.
There you go. Or worse yet, your psychiatrist has to turn you in because you have a mental disease, mental disorder, and you might be unsafe. Who knows? They might do preemptive strikes on people. I shouldn't put it that way. I'm going to take that back because that didn't come out properly. But meaning they'll maybe commit you in the event that you might do something, right? the drone strikes is a whole other ball game. That it's possible. Let's say the door is open for them to do that too, under this new under these new rules and regulations. But we're talking health right now. If you walk in and your body mass index, your fat, and they're going to, you know, superimpose, you're going to be a drain on society. You're going to end up with a stroke. So therefore, we're going to have to limit what you can eat. And for those folks who are on any kind of government assistance, trust me, when they give you those little electronic benefit cards that you can just go and buy at this point cigarettes and go gambling and strip clubs with, that spigot's going to be turned off. And you won't be able to buy a soda, a cigarette, a McDonald's hamburger, nothing. That's coming. They just have to get everything in place. Then it becomes, we own you. Bloomberg is just, he's the future. If you think New York is dumb now, wait until other people get on that bandwagon. He's test casing stuff. He's seeing how far it can be pushed without anybody saying nothing. And I'm not living in New York anymore, but I still am just shocked that New Yorkers would go, okay, you know, take away your styrofoam cups, your big gulps, your popcorn. You know, I mean, unbelievable.
The Coca-Colas and the big, they'd already started refabricating their bottles so they wouldn't have the 16-ounce Coke bottle.
It doesn't matter.
No.
You can still go to the supermarket and buy it.
Yeah.
It's only going to cost you more.
Yeah.
So now the cost of eating poorly will cost you more. They're going to put surtaxes on sugar. But, you know, instead of all this nonsense, if they would just go to the formulation itself, go back to the cane sugar, come off of the high fructose corn syrup, that would do wonders to stop obesity. Stop adding it in gum. Stop adding it in, you know, salad dressings. It's everywhere. And then the other flip side would be NutraSweet, the aspartame. That stuff is a cancer-causing agent and a neurological damaging agent. And I guess we have to take a break, but I want to tell a story about aspartame when we come back.
Okay.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that throat itching and tickling, nasal itching, eye itching, skin itching, eczema, and hives are all signs of allergy? A person suffering from allergy does not always have sneezing and a runny nose. If you have noticed that these symptoms are always present year-round, you may have allergies to what you are eating. Foods such as wheat, eggs, dairy products, and corn are present in most foods. Corn in particular is present in most processed foods and soft drinks in the form of high fructose corn syrup. Completely removing these foods from your diet for at least 2 months can in some cases stop the symptoms. Keeping a food diary or getting tested for food allergies is the fastest way to find out what foods are causing your symptoms. If you think you have a food allergy, it is important to see a doctor who specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of allergy. By rotating the food into the diet once every 2 weeks, allergies can be controlled and you can still eat the food.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. So before the break, I was going to tell you about aspartame and a story that personally affected me. One of my friend's wives, who was a teacher, young, healthy woman, suddenly started having major issues with her balance. They thought she was having a stroke. She was hospitalized. I mean, she got to a point that she couldn't even walk anymore, had to stop working. It's just a disaster. You know, this is a young, vibrant person. And, you know, we started talking, and I talked to her about nutrition. So I really started to delve into what she was eating. And she was eating a ton, like, you know, trying to lose weight. Weight loss, like NutraSweet and or aspartame, and staying off of sugared drinks. But it was tons of food that she was eating. And so I told her, you know, why don't you just clean your diet, stop eating that. Eat something else. Start juicing, but get off the aspartame. She's walking now. She's not neurologically compromised the way she was. She's still recovering because she's in physical therapy. I mean, she literally has like an old woman, couldn't even walk, had to be carried by her husband. Think about that. Now, that's a person who's very sensitive to it. What subtle things are happening to people? Your memory's not quite right. You know, you suddenly develop an autoimmune disease or something, or your liver enzymes are up for no reason. You just have issues that, for no other reason, that you're not healthy. First thing I would do is look at every label and see if there's any NutraSweet or aspartame in it. And it's in, again, like soy, everything. It's in regular chewing gum, in Double Mint, Wrigley. I know that the Sugarless already has it, but I did not expect to see it in bubble gum and in regular gum. Did not expect it. It's in all of it. And it's also called phenylketonuria or phenylketonurics or PKU. That's the other term for the NutraSweet. It's fake sugar. There's only two organs that depend on sugar, regular, real sugar, not the fake stuff, the heart and the brain, two major organs. If you're not getting enough sugar, you are starving them. And when that fake sugar gets ingested, it can't really be used by either organ. So I wonder, I mean, just intellectually, when it passes into the blood-brain barrier, what happens to that stuff? Does it just get deposited? Is that where some of the Alzheimer's is coming from? Some of the, you know, mood disorders, depression, anxiety, it's off the chart again. Barely anybody. I'm seeing 20-year-olds on like 15 meds now. And things to stop your depression, things to help you sleep, things to keep you awake because you're too sleepy. This is young people now on meds that I used to see seniors come in with. And it's okay to them. It's not a stigma. Back in the day, people never wanted to take these things. Now it's, if you don't put the kid on Adderall, something's wrong with you as a parent. And if you're in college, if you're not on something to help you study and concentrate, then you're not getting a leg. I mean, it's just the mindset. The drug industry has been very effective at making it cool to need medication and to feel that you can't make it on your own without a boost. And if there's something wrong with the person who actually wants to do the work and actually put in the labor, it's like a cliff note approach to life. I want it fast. I want a pill for it. I don't want to work for it. And, you know, I am special. Oh, my God. It doesn't even make any sense. But what you end up having is a bunch of unhappy people who are not putting the legwork in. You know, everything we talk about is because I actually research it. Takes time to do it. I'm glad I do it and not get fed by TV or, you know, pop culture. That's the last segment of society that should be feeding anybody any information, because it's all perpetuating nonsense and it's keeping you a victim.
You know, it's like, again, the energy drinks.
Oh, man.
You know, God intended us. And I wasn't a straight-A student in college by any stretch. I couldn't, you know, when it came time to sleep, I was sleepy and I'd go to bed. I might get up at 3:30 or 4 in the morning to study. But when I was tired at night, and that's what you're supposed to do, and it doesn't take a brain surgeon or Einstein to say, I don't think these energy drinks and staying up all night is really good for you.
Well, sleep is a commodity that's in very low supply. there's no value, there's no sexiness in getting 8 hours of sleep at this point. It's about burning candles at both ends and doing superhuman things and using aids to help you, whether that's drug-related, pill-related. It's not about organically grown anything, right? So it's you don't learn by literally doing the rotations, the routines that you need to get done. You need to look at it on your iPad and just have it automatically just sink in. Or these Google glasses. I have to read more about that. But I guess you can read, you know, basically record people without them knowing it and some strange iSpy stuff, which I hope that doesn't catch on because that just means we're in 1984 for real now. Kind of scary, isn't it? I mean, ultimately, it's about people really now doing the legwork, you know, asking the hard questions and be willing to accept things, answers that they don't want. I mean, you want everything to be easy. I can totally understand that. But ultimately, at this point, you can't depend on anybody really, except God and yourself, because everybody's got an agenda, whether it's government, whether it's the medical industrial complex that really exists for making people sick at this point and keeping them in a system.
They don't make any money on well.
No, they don't. Well, some people do, but they're trying to remove those people as competition by putting them out of business, taking away their license, driving them from the system. And I just am so anti-corporate anything. I don't want to see the talking heads on TV, doctors pronouncing stupid things like there's no difference between organic food and regular food. You should have your license revoked for saying something like that. To know that millions of people hang on your every word and to be so morally and ethically corrupt that you would deny people the ability to take care of themselves at the very least. Give people a choice, let them make their own decision. But to pronounce you're basically you're stupid if you think organic food is worth it, that's outrageous. Do what you want, but my feeling is, make your choice based on knowledge and detective work, and if a position of power, not a position of fear, where you're just waiting for the next shoe to drop and the next bad thing to happen to you, you know. I think mind and body are very much connected. You keep living in that mindset. It does bear fruit, not the fruit that you want. I feel really, I mean, I'm not happy with the way medicine has gone. I'm not. But that's why I have this show. Because I could sit here with other colleagues and just woe is me and count the days until I can retire and see 90 people a day and just write a prescription. Did I choose that? That's an easy path because that's what everybody's doing. Get PAs, MAs, basically become an administrator and let my clinic work for me but have no patient contact of any import. I could do that. I could become an employee for a hospital and just do 9-to-5 and get a paycheck and not worry anymore about payroll, about my malpractice insurance, about having enough patients to meet my month-end needs. You know, and pay my mortgage. I can do that. But is it worth it to me? Is the easy path worth it? Because everybody I know for me it's the wrong way, but I've spoken to folks that have done it. None of them are happy. They can't wait to retire because they're just, it's like they're going to the next vacation. They just go to work in order to make the money to go to the next vacation. There's no joy. There's no feeling of accomplishment. It's just get it done.
You know,
it's just sad.
If they're not happy, and I know a physician will be the first to say, if you're not happy, it's eating you alive.
Sure.
So don't they realize that what their choice of going to a hospital and not being happy is really detrimental to their own health?
It ripples down the entire medical chain, from the doctor who's burnt out to the people that he or she interacts with, other nurses, their PAs. I mean, they're just like, whatever. I mean, that's the mentality now. And the patient comes in. And, of course, lots of patients, some actually are partners in their care. Others are like, I don't know what I'm on. I don't know what medical problems I have. I don't know. You know, you don't know how you feel. You come in and I ask you if you have pain. Did you take anything for it? No, I didn't take anything. What? I mean, you have a sore throat. You didn't even bother to try to treat it. You just come to the doctor. That isn't. You have to have partnership in your care. And if people would spend one more thought on that, as opposed to what Kim Kardashian is doing, we'll be doing a lot better. Right?
But the important question for the physician to ask is, do you have guns in your house?
Oh, yeah. And do you have a living will?
Yeah. That's it. We're going to have to quit. It was, as always, a pleasure you coming in, Dr. George. And
pleasure to be here. And thank you for listening.
The message that you deliver is getting out. It's sort of like we started out as a trickle, but the dam is slowly breaking, and your message is getting out. We'll be back next week with Dr. Elena George and Medicine.